But I hope that helps me be welcome here this morning. You and I share a common guy in mind, and that's Andy Conley. I just wish he could tell a story. I wish he was a little enthusiastic. And when he works with us, he's just so drab and unenthusiastic. Is he that way here? And if you're visiting here, he's the very opposite. And I know you have a great admiration for his family and for Andy and his family. And he talks glowingly about you. So I'm just glad to be able to be with you today. Let's have a Bible check. Hold them up. No songbooks. If you don't have one, repent and bring it with you. How about iPads or iPhones? We got that? Yeah, we allow those unspiritual iPads and iPhones. If you don't have a Bible, get one out of the rack. I want you to see, we're going to spend our entire time on one page of the text. So I want you to see it in your Bibles or see it in a Bible. So get your iPad or get your iPhone or one out of the rack or your own Bible and have it before you, because we're going to stay on one page of the text. The one page of the text is Acts chapter number 16. So if you would turn in your Bibles to that particular page, you will study there together in just a few minutes. Here's what we're going to do today. I'm going to tell you three stories to begin with. I'm going to give you three words to write down. We're going to study the text. I'm going to tell you a story at the end, and then we'll conclude the lesson time together. And let's start with the three stories. It's 1972. I have a wife of about a year and a half. Her father has just died within the year. I couldn't get that church to hire me. I couldn't get that church to hire me. I couldn't get that church to hire me. And I announced to my bride of a year and a half, we're moving to Kentucky. And she cried all the way to Kentucky. I'll come back to that story in a few minutes. Story two. I live on the road with my work at World Christian. I'm never in the office. At lunchtime, when I am in the office, I usually have lunch with the guys that are there in the office. But on this particular day, I'm in my office, and it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I didn't go to eat with the guys. I got a phone call from Chris Black. Chris Black is one of my sons in the faith. Chris and Ellen Black are dear, dear friends to me. They have two precious little boys. They'd already lost two children at birth. Ellen is now at Vanderbilt Hospital having, they hope, a little girl. She'd been in bed for the last 15 weeks of her pregnancy, and we're still 3 weeks early. And I got a phone call from Chris saying, Andy, we're headed to Vanderbilt Hospital. Anybody ever been to Vanderbilt Hospital? You can get lost in Vanderbilt Hospital, can't you? So I got in my Jeep and I was driving to Vanderbilt. I didn't know what I was going to find, who I was going to find. I didn't know what the situation would be, but I got in my Jeep and I started driving to Vanderbilt Hospital. I'll come back to that story in a few minutes. Third story. How in the world did I have an opportunity to work in hospice for 15 years? Will now have an opportunity to be president of World Christian Broadcasting. And now I get to live 40 miles from where I was born. How did I get there? We'll come back to that story in a few minutes. Now, everybody write down these three key words. It's what our lesson is about. You need to write it in the margins of your Bible or on a notepad. Here's your three words I want you to write down. First word's roadblocks. The word roadblocks. I want you to write that word down. Roadblocks. The second key word I want you to write down is coincidences. I have trouble spelling it too. I'll let you decide how you want to spell it. Roadblocks. Coincidences. And the third key word I want you to write down is the word crystal. This lesson does connect. Next 10, 15 minutes, you'll see how it all comes together. What's your three key words? Roadblocks, coincidences, and crystal. Now let's study the text. Acts chapter 16. If you glance first of all up in verse number 4 and 5 of the text, the church is doing pretty good. The church is growing. There's a lot of folks that are now members of the Lord's Church, and they are reaching out to their communities, and things are going pretty good. By the time you get down to Acts chapter 16, verse 6, Paul and his companions are traveling, and they have a request with God to go to certain places to preach the gospel. Read with me, please, beginning verse number 6 of Acts chapter 16. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, let's pause there for a second. I've got that underlined in my Bible. The gospel had not yet gotten down to Asia, and Paul and Silas wanted to go down to Asia, and God said no. The text says in verse number 6, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Verse 7, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. There's one translation that says the Spirit of Christ would not allow them to go. Now get that particular picture. You've got two of the best preachers in the brotherhood wanting to go preach at these particular places where the gospel had not yet gone. And God said to both places, what was His answer? No, you can't go. What were the reasons maybe behind why they were not allowed to go down to those particular places? We could speculate on some answers. But the point I want you to see is the Lord put up a roadblock. He said no going down to Asia. He said no to going to these other areas that two of the best preachers in the brotherhood wanted to go. And God said no. Continue reading with me in your Bibles in verse number 8. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. After he had seen the vision, and immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly, look at it carefully, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Lord, we'd like to go down to Asia to preach the gospel. What did God say? No. He put up a roadblock. There are some other cities in which we'd like to go and preach the gospel. And what did God say? No. You can't go down to that area. God gave him a couple of roadblocks to get him where? To get him over to Macedonia. Look at the last line in verse number 10. They concluded that God wanted them to be in Macedonia, so God had said no to the other areas in which they wanted to go. Roadblocks. Could it be that God put up roadblocks in your life to get you where you needed to be? I didn't get that job. I didn't get that date. I wasn't welcomed into that club. I didn't get that promotion. I didn't get the scholarship that I wanted to get to go to that school. My grades weren't quite good enough to... Roadblocks. Has anybody in the room ever had a roadblock? And if you hadn't, you might need to ask somebody because we've probably all had them. Could it be that God has allowed some roadblocks in your life to get you where you needed to be? I was going to teach math and be a basketball coach. I went down to Freed Hardeman and got monkeying around with a bunch of preacher students who had their act together, and I thought, wait a minute, I'd kind of like to have my life kind of together too. And I took another route. Could it be that that didn't work out because God had some other plans for my life? Could it be that God has allowed some roadblocks in your life to get you where? Is it just by chance that you live where you live? Or could you be right there for those neighbors and friends that live in that circle right there or in your cul-de-sac that might need to hear the good news about Jesus? Could it be that you work where you work and it wasn't your first choice? You got some roadblocks so you could meet that person that maybe is your lab partner at school or someone maybe you share a locker with or maybe someone that you work next to at the place of work. Maybe you're there to teach them about Jesus. Time out for a second. I believe that everything that happens in our life is preparing us for future opportunities. In 1989, around this time of year, Dr. Paul DeLuca said, I had melanoma cancer. Melanoma cancer is not, if there's a good cancer to have, it's not one of those. It kind of spreads. I'm lucky, very, very fortunate to be alive. I was so happy that I worked in hospice at the time. That impacted my hospice work, having cancer myself. You think I made a few more visits than maybe I normally would have, having cancer myself? Do you think I visited those patients that we served that had melanoma cancer? Do you think I went to their homes? You bet I did, because I knew exactly what they were thinking and with what they were dealing. Could it be that God has put up some roadblocks in your life to get you where you need to live, to get you to the church you need to be, to get you with the job you need to have? Roadblocks. Could it be that God gets us where He wants us to be? Second key word, coincidences. I can't spell it or say it either one. Coincidences. Let's keep reading in the text. Verse number 11 in your Bibles in Acts chapter 16. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. We don't know how many days they were there, but they waited a few days, and then it gets Saturday. It gets the Sabbath day. Verse 13 says, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Was it just lucky that Paul met Lydia? Was it just a coincidence that Paul met Lydia? I'd like to suggest for your thinking that this was not a coincidence. They went to this city. They waited a few days. On Saturday, they go out to the riverside, go down to the beach to have a Bible study. And nearby where they were having the Bible study is Lydia and her household. And they get listening to the things that Paul and Silas and whoever's in that Bible study are talking about. And they begin listening, and the text says God opened up her heart. She was a worshiper of God. Her heart was opened up by God. She heard the message, and after a little bit was baptized into Christ. I don't know how they were able to show the Jewel Miller film strips out on that riverside. I have no idea. And if you don't know what that is, that tells me how old you are. Many of us remember those Jewel Miller film strips. Was it just lucky that they hooked up with Lydia? By the way, tradition says that Lydia was the one that took the gospel to Asia. Was it just luck? Was it just chance that Paul and Silas met Lydia? She's going to come up again in our lesson this morning. I'd like to recommend for your thinking that it was not a coincidence at all, that it was a God-planned meeting with someone with a message of hope, with someone who was searching. Can I have your eyes up here for a second? Could it be that some of those people that you and I might label as being an annoyance or an inconvenience that interrupts our day, could it be that this is the day that maybe God has brought this person into your relationship that you might share with them the good news about Jesus? To me, that's what makes the Christian life exciting. If everything that happens in our life is preparing us for future opportunities, to me, that's what makes the Christian life exciting. Today may be the day God's been preparing you for all your life. Today might be the day you meet a Lydia. Today might be a day that God's been getting you ready, prepared all your life for this day. Maybe it's tomorrow. To me, that's what makes the Christian life exciting, because God uses our lives in wonderful, wonderful ways. Coincidences? I'd like to recommend for your thinking that there's no such thing. that they are God-moved moments to get you in contact with the people that just might be searching and just might be longing to know more about Jesus. This means yes, this means no. Not trying to be funny, let's just communicate. Was meeting Lydia a coincidence? No. It was a God-moved moment when all of this thing happened. What was our first key word? Roadblocks. Sometimes roadblocks happen. You didn't get that date. You didn't get that house. You didn't get that job. You weren't hired. You had to. Could it be that God allowed those to get you where you needed to be? And the people that we meet along the way, could it be that those are not inconveniences at all, but these is God-moved moments to get people that are searching in contact with you that have a message of hope? Don't put it past the Lord to use your life to impact the lives of others. He's been preparing you maybe all your life. Let me put it like this. I don't think it's a coincidence that this audience is gathered together on this Sunday morning. Could it be that this is part of God's plan in my life to help me be more what God really wants me to be? What was our third key word? Crystal. Andy, where does that fit in? Let's go to the rest of our text back in Acts 16. I want you to glance first of all at verse number 25. Verse 25 says, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Verse 26, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake." Need you to answer a question for me. Did God know that the earthquake was coming at midnight? I'll re-ask it. Did God know that the earthquake was going to take place at midnight? Yes. I want you to notice all the things that God had to be a part in, all the things that had to take place before the earthquake happened at midnight. Are you ready? We're going to move pretty quickly. Notice all these events that had to happen to get us to the earthquake at midnight. Go back to verse 16 in Acts chapter 16. The text says, "It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination." She's got a demon inside her. But she was able, the text says, verse 16. "Came to pass as they went to prayer, certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." A soothsayer is somebody that can predict the future. She was able to predict the future. She had a demon inside her that gave her the ability to predict the future. You tell Andy Conley that I'm going to leave that up to him to preach in a sermon in a few weeks to explain how somebody could have a demon be able to predict the future. You tell Andy I'm going to leave that for him to explain. That went over some of your heads. Our lesson is not about this demon. You got a girl here who's able to predict the future. Andy Conley will explain what that means in the future. You tell him I said so. Her masters was making a killing off of her ability. The text doesn't tell us how much they were making, but they were making a lot of money off of this girl that was able to predict the future. Verse 17, "She kept following Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." She did this many days, the next says, and Paul said, "I've had enough." The text says he's grieved and he's turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. Verse number 26. Did God know that there was going to be an earthquake at midnight? Yes. But I got to get the town stirred up. And he got the town stirred up by Paul casting out the demon. The ones that was making money off the girl got a little angry. So they go to the officials of the city and got the whole town stirred up, so they arrested Paul and Silas and put them in jail. Did God know the earthquake was going to happen? Yes. Look at all the things that had to take place. We got to have Paul meet this girl. He's got to cast the demon out. He's got to stir up the town enough to get him in jail. They beat him up in jail a little bit, and they warn him, "You don't need to be doing this anymore." Look with me, if you will, in verse 23. When they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust him in the inner prison, made their feet fast in the stocks. Did the Lord know the earthquake was going to take place? Yes. Look at all the things that had to take place before the earthquake. We've got to get them all in. We got to get Paul and Silas in jail. Well, how will we do that? They're going to cast out a demon. They're going to get the town all stirred up. They're going to get arrested and put in jail and beat up and tied up. And right before the earthquake happens, they've got to have enough time to have a Bible study. They're in the jail, the text says, in verse number 25, and there they prayed and sang praises unto God. Anybody in the room work in the prison? Y'all have a prison ministry here? If you've ever been in prison with some folks or talked to folks that work in prisons, probably the last thing they would say they hear in prison is singing and praying. Maybe a little praying. They probably heard some choice words from those that's in jail. But this night, this jailer hears singing and praying. Probably a little preaching too, if you know Paul. Now, the Lord knew we're going to have an earthquake at midnight. All these things had to get done to get ready for the earthquake. Cast out the demon, get the city stirred up, get arrested, get thrown in. Is God with Paul all during this time? When he's getting beat up, could Paul see God working in his life? When the whole town's stirred up and they're about to arrest him, could Paul see God working in his life? No. But he gets in jail and gets beat up, and now they're singing and praying, and it's midnight. And the earthquake occurs. And the jailer, if we read the rest of the passage, the jailer drew a sword going to kill himself, thinking all the prisoners had escaped, because if a prisoner escapes, the officials are going to kill you. So he said, I won't let them do it. I'll do it myself. Paul says, we're here. They brought in a light, preached a little bit more gospel, and the jailer was baptized into Jesus. Was God with, could Paul see God when he was being beaten? Could he see him when he was thrown in jail? Could he see God while he's in those stocks in the middle of a prison? Could Paul see God working? Well, now he meets up with the jailer, and he baptizes the jailer during the wee hours of the morning. There's proof in this passage he was a member of the Church of Christ. Are you ready for the proof? Jump down to verse 32. They spake unto him the word of the Lord, all that were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, baptized he and all his house. When he brought them into his house, he set meat before them. We know they had to be members of the Church of Christ. They ate before the evening is over. How many saw the movie A Few Good Men? Saw that movie? Tom Cruise is in that movie. He is Lieutenant Daniel Caffey. Jack Nicholson is in that movie. In the scene I want you to go with me, Jack Nicholson is on the stand, and they're trying to get him to admit something that happened with under his leadership. And they lay out several things that happened. And then Tom Cruise asks him, is that clear? Anybody remember the answer? Crystal. Can you always see God working in your life? No. But can you look back and see where he worked there and there and there and there? And you look back at your life, and can you see God working in your life? What's the word? Crystal. What was our first key word? Roadblocks. Sometimes God allows roadblocks in your life to get us where we need to be. I didn't get that job. I didn't get that promotion. I didn't get that girl. I didn't get that guy. I didn't get that house. God allows some roadblocks. Have you had one or two along the way? Could it be that God has allowed those to get you where He needs you to be? Coincidences. Are you just here by luck or by chance? Are you where you are in your life by luck or by chance? Have you met the people that you met in your life? Are you married to the one that you're married to just by luck or chance? Or could it be that God's been working in your life and there are no coincidences? Maybe the people that you and I are going to meet this coming week are the ones that God's been preparing us for all our life to share them the good news about Jesus. And is God working in your life and mine? Well, at the moment, I'm getting beat up. At the moment, I'm at the... And you look back, and what can you see? God working there, and there, and there. I need some head nodding. Does this make sense? You see the three key words. If you don't nod your head one way, we're going to re-preach the lesson, so work with me. Does it make sense? There are some roadblocks. There's no coincidences. And when you look back at your life, you can see God at work. Is God working in your life? Can you see His plan? And you can answer what? Crystal. Let me do back my three stories, and then we'll close. You remember my story? It's 1972. And that church and that church and that church didn't hire me. And I decided to move to Kentucky, and my wife cried all the way to Kentucky. Can anybody identify with a similar scene where you cried all the way where you were headed? But if we'd never moved to Kentucky, my son would have never met Emily. And I wouldn't have Drew and Emma. And my daughter's life would not have been channeled the way that it was, and she would never have met Tim. And I wouldn't have had Caleb or Avery. If I hadn't gone to Kentucky, and God worked some other areas in my life, I would have never met Andy Conley. I would have never met you. I would have never met Bob Lanham. And that would have been a loss. Roadblocks. Are they there sometimes? Yeah. For God to get you where you need to be. I need some head nodding. Does that make sense? Let's go back to my second story. I'm in my office. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And Chris Black said, Andy, we're headed to Vanderbilt. Remember, Ellen, his wife, has already lost two babies in birth. They've got two fine little boys, and now she's giving birth, hopefully, to a daughter. She'd been 15 weeks in bed, the last 15 weeks of her pregnancy, and we're still 3 weeks out. Andy, we're heading to Vanderbilt. I got in my Jeep, and I drove to Vandy, and as I said a moment ago, you can get lost at Vanderbilt. Well, I went up to the fourth or sixth floor, I don't remember, and there wasn't anybody there. On every door, the sign said, don't even think about it. I'm there, and there's nobody else there. What am I going to do? What am I going to find? What am I here for? I didn't have a clue what I was going to do, who I'd find. 20 minutes, a nurse walked through, walked back through. Another 10 minutes, she came back to that particular room where I was and said, sir, can I help you? I said, well, I'm looking for Chris and Ellen Black. Are you family? No, ma'am, I'm their minister. Please come, please come. She ushered me back to where Ellen was in her bed sobbing because she's about to lose a little girl. Chris had to leave the hospital to take care of the two boys so he could come back. So it's a brief time when it's just Ellen there and she's all alone and she's in her bed and she's about to lose a little girl. She's sobbing as I walked in the room. All right, Bake, what do you say? What's the magic words? In Preaching 101 at Fried Hardeman, they didn't teach us what to say in those moments. I walked up to her bed and I put my hands on both sides of her face. I leaned over toward her and I said, Ellen, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. God is with you. Do not be afraid. We had a prayer. The monitors that was hooked up to her calmed. Her heart rate calmed, and she was able then to deliver in another hour and a half a little girl, healthy. They named her Clara. It's a pretty good Southern name, isn't it? Southern family, what's her middle name? Clara. Clara Bell. Isn't that neat? Did I get there by luck? By chance? Was that just a coincidence? I'd like to recommend, if you're thinking, that it was no coincidence. That's a God-blessed moment that got me to her bedside. Third and last story. How did I get to be here today? Well, that church wouldn't hire me, and there's a pattern here, can you tell? I couldn't get that church to hire me, or that church to hire me, or that church to hire me. And I'm in Danville, Kentucky. I've been there for 15 years. It's time to leave. My son said, "Daddy, let me finish high school," and then moved to Bongo Bongo. I honored that. That's when I got into hospice. Was hospice a blessing? Absolutely. I've already shared with you, that's when I had my cancer situations. Was I there by luck, or was God working in my life when I had to stay in Danville and not go preach somewhere? Was God with me at those moments? Well, I worked in hospice and began preaching for the little church in Stanford, Kentucky. Anybody ever been to Stanford, Kentucky? It doesn't surprise me. You got to be going to Stanford, Kentucky. A little church of about 35. Average age, 75. They had no children. I told the men I would not be doing the adult Bible class Sunday morning. I'll be providing a class for my little girl. Was God with me when I went to a church of 35 with an average age of 75? Well, there I had to meet a guy named, he was my song leader. He couldn't carry a tune in a bucket with a lid on it. He was a God-fearing man, and he's in heaven now. But I had to meet him. I had to go to Stanford to meet him because his best friend was Bob Osborne, whose son just happened to be the one that was over English programming at World Christian. I took a job in Knoxville with a hospice so I could come back to Nashville to be near my dad during the last few moments of his life. I got asked to do a radio program for World Christian. In January 1, I'll become the president. Could I see God in all those moments? But looking back, what can I say? What was the key word? Crystal. God was working in every one of those moments to get me here to be with you today. Roadblocks. Sometimes they happen. Coincidences. Nope. God's working. And maybe you can't see God. When you can't see the hand of God or hear the voice of God, you can always trust the heart of God. Hadn't heard God in a while? Hadn't seen God in a while? When you hadn't seen the hand of God or heard the voice of God, and I don't mean literally, but when you hadn't seen God in your life, you can always trust the heart of God. And that changes everything. And you look back on your life, can you see God's plan? What's your word? Crystal. Let me close with this story. You've listened so great today. True story that happened. A very, very valuable lesson to learn. Andy, what should be our attitude as we carry out these three key words in our life and look for God in our life and use our lives involved in ministry to our Lord? What should be our heart? What should be our attitude? I'll close with this story. Her name was Taylor Storch. It's March the 15th, 2010. She's 13 years old. She's with her family on a skiing trip in Colorado. They've had a week of skiing. It's the last day of the family trip. It's the last run of the family trip, and her and her dad are out on the slope. She was an excellent skier, but something happened. She got off balance and she crashed into a tree. She was injured so badly, it was very evident she was not going to live. They airlifted her from Grand Junction, Colorado to Denver, Colorado to the hospital there. The family didn't get to go in the helicopter. They were having to drive their own car. They drove all the way to Denver, and on that way they talked about things that the family had already been talking about before if anything like this ever happened. Mom and Dad, as they went along, began to talk about using the organs that was from Taylor's body to bless the lives of as many folks as they could. So when they get to the hospital in Denver, it was very evident she was going to die. They began taking organs from her body to bless the lives of others. That day, five different people got organs. One got a retina, one got a kidney, one got a pancreas, and one person got her heart. Patricia Winters was a 39-year-old emergency room nurse. Two children, married with two children, and a bad heart. She was on the list. In a few days, she got the heart of that 13-year-old little girl. About a year passed. Tara, the mother of Taylor, wanted to meet the person that got her daughter's heart. That didn't usually happen, but they pulled a few strings, and Tara, the mother of Taylor, got to meet Patricia Winters. You can imagine that meeting, how emotional that it was. At the front door, they hugged and they met and they talked for a while. And then they went into Patricia's kitchen and sat down at the table. They talked for a little bit more, and then she did something that was just amazing. She went over to her medicine bag and pulled out the stethoscope. And she put it in the ears of Tara. And she put the other end, of course, right here. Tell me whose heart Tara heard beating. Was that Patricia's heart, or was that her daughter's heart? She heard her daughter's heart, didn't she? Here's the application. May you and I so yield ourselves to the will of God that when God hears our heart beating, He doesn't hear our heart beating, but He hears the heart of Jesus. And if we can have the heartbeat of Jesus, the roadblocks, we'll learn from them. The coincidences, we'll realize God's been working. And we'll be able to look back on our life and, can you see God clearly? What's your answer? Crystal. Let's pray together. Father, we really want to make an impact upon our families and our communities. We're so thankful that somebody in our past taught us about Jesus. I thank you for this great church, their love for the souls of people. I ask you to bless this study today into the application and our walk with you. Help us to be more open to you leading our life. And when we meet people and encounter situations, help us to look for you working. And help us to look back on our life and see those moments when we didn't know that you were really working in our lives, but we now realize you were. Forgive us, dear Lord, when we whined and when we complained about a roadblock that you were trying to use just to get us where we need to be. Forgive us when we complained and missed the lessons maybe you were trying to teach us all along the way. And I pray, dear Lord, that we will communicate to our children and those that you send our way your mighty power alive and working in our lives, helping us to be all that we need to be. So help our eyes to be open, maybe even today, of the Lydias that we will meet, of the jailers that we will meet who have good hearts searching for you. Thank you, dear Lord, for working in our lives, for being involved in our lives. May all we do bring you glory and praise. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.